Well, it's been about a two-week break, but we are back. Once again, it's the last three guys to do a podcast, our 11th episode. Again, I apologize for our two-week vacation. I was under the weather 2 weeks ago, and then last week I had to go out of town on a business trip to Miami. I know people. I know it's a tough life, but we are all in one location, and now we're back on the air. I'm John Morgo, along with
Leon Brown
and
Daniel Bolton,
who is calling in. As we want to say congratulations to Daniel. He just put a down payment on a brand new house. We're sure to have a live broadcast from there sometime soon, and we'll break it in properly and hopefully break some stuff.
Absolutely.
As well. So again, yes. We have not been with you for about two whole weeks, and I apologize for that. It's just circumstances beyond our control, but we are back now. And what a time to be back, folks, because right now it is the end of the college football season. We are coming down to the wire. We only have really one more big weekend of action before we move into the conference championship finals and then the bowl season. So as we go along, some conference championships have been decided. No surprise, we're going to have Alabama against Georgia in the SEC. Clemson is going to play Pittsburgh. They are the patsy du jour coming out of the other side of the ACC to play Clemson. That's a little bit of a shock, but everyone else, every other conference, nothing has been situated, nothing has been resolved, and guys, it's going to make for an exciting regular season finale next week, figuring out where all these teams are going to get slotted. So, Leon, I'll start with you. What do you want to see in some of these conference championships in the next coming in 2 weeks? What game matchups do you want to see resulting from the action we'll have next week?
I want to see parity in college football. I don't wish bad on anybody. I just wish for a little excitement. And to me, it's like Alabama has sucked all the excitement out of college football. You know, it's like, you know, they're the number one, number two, number three, number four, number five favorites to win it all. I mean, my goodness, can we get some parity? I want to see Georgia march in and beat Alabama. Am I asking too much?
Well, if Georgia marches in,
not about.
No, I don't think you're asking too much. But if Georgia does go in and beat Alabama, we'll probably have the same four teams we had last season. Although I think Notre Dame now is going to get in. I think Notre Dame, with their victory over Syracuse last week, I think the Irish, no matter what happens in their final game, I think they will probably get in, because I don't think anyone expected Notre Dame at the start of the season to go 11-0 heading into that final meeting. I think Notre Dame is in. But if Georgia beats Alabama, Georgia will definitely get in. But again, Alabama's got to get in. But of course, Alabama, we could have what we had last year where Alabama loses to Auburn and then comes back and beats Georgia. Daniel, what do you think?
I agree with Leon, and I agree with you too, John. But I think the main thing is this. Look, here's my situation about the Alabama-Georgia game. This is actually, I'm going to allude to what Gary Danielson said on the broadcast against LSU last weekend. He said basically Alabama, I'm sorry, this was 2 weeks ago. He said Alabama's playing for seedings, and that's all they're really playing for.
Right.
They go in, they're probably going to beat Auburn next week, okay? If they lose to Georgia, because this is more of a crucial game for Georgia, if they lose to Georgia, then they will probably get knocked down to a two or a three. At worst, so, you know, they'll still get in, because now you have to put them in the conversation of the best one-loss team in the country, which they will be, because they have been beating everybody up until they got to the SEC championship game. Now, here's where the problem lies. If Notre Dame finishes undefeated, which they will, I believe, if they finish undefeated, the problem lies next weekend. Next weekend's game between Ohio State and Michigan is so big. I don't think people realize that. Michigan, first off, has to win the game to even get to the Big Ten championship. The winner of that game goes to the Big Ten championship against Northwestern. So if Michigan wins that game, they go on to win the Big Ten, and Georgia defeats Alabama. Now there's a conflict of interest, because Alabama still gets in, Clemson still gets in once they win the ACC. Sorry, Pitt. Notre Dame runs the table. Now you got to figure out that fourth team. It'll either be between Georgia and Michigan. So who might not be possible, but we might need to go to 18 simply because of this problem.
I'm about to just
that's just my opinion.
Absolutely. This is because
I mean, what do you guys think?
I think the drumbeat for 8 teams is going to keep going. I think it's going to get louder and louder until finally the committee says, "Okay, sure, what the age? We'll go to 8 teams," and then you're going to get a lot more chaos, especially with these kids having to play one extra game. And if I think Nick Saban's the only person in the SEC who wants them to go to 9 conference games. It's going to be another game, another week, and again, once you'll have that argument once again about, okay, we are delimiting, de-emphasizing the bowls. And maybe it's finally time to put the bowls out of their misery, and that's going to be a very big problem for the Chamber of Commerce for El Paso.
And another thing too, John and Leon, if you want to take the bowl games out, if you don't want to take them out, fine. You know, you can always add that eighth element or whatnot, in which will actually probably take some teams out of bowl contention. That's probably the only thing that would happen if you do that. But, I mean, you have to do it, and this will actually mainly go for the case of Central Florida, because Central Florida is sitting there. Central Florida had the best win this weekend.
Over Cincinnati,
Over Cincinnati. Well, some people will argue Notre Dame had the better win over Syracuse. Syracuse ranked 13th in the country. Okay, that's fine. But you have to kind of put Central Florida up there. This is a team who we just saw who was in Atlanta last year and showed everybody they can play with the Power 5 conference. They beat a very good Auburn team last year. A very good Auburn team that was actually one win away from possibly a playoff berth.
Here's my solution for Central Florida. Here's my solution for Central Florida. You want to get in to the playoffs, the Big Four playoffs. Fine. Here's what you have to do. Beat Alabama's scout team.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Pretty much, man.
I mean, that's the only way you're going to get in. You're right about that.
Yeah. Not the big team, because the big team has got bigger fish to fry than you guys. Mm-hmm. Beat their scout team. Let's face it, the scout team is more 5 stars than Central Florida has on their entire roster.
Yeah, the scout team can go to the SEC championship.
Exactly. Exactly. Beat the scout team, then we'll talk. But until then, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. Especially because you're making no effort. You did not make any effort to reschedule that match with Georgia Tech from last season.
Yeah.
You didn't, and you know, you keep saying that you know, you deserve to be in here. Well, play the good teams. You know, don't use weather as an excuse. And I know that's hard, and I know I'm saying things, you know, because basically I think am I mistaken, but in the 70s or 80s, or maybe my memory's just completely, you know, the good old days, but didn't they play in hurricanes in the 70s and 80s?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
They did.
I know they played in blizzards.
They did.
Yeah. So now, you know, that's a whole separate issue. But, you know, if they are so interested in doing that, then, you know, get the game back with Tech that they missed last year. And there's a lot of teams that are doing this. It's not just Central Florida. And again, Central Florida is one of those ungroup of 5, but you got to prove that you belong.
Yeah. Can I make a suggestion? Oh, man, can we go off and make an announcement?
Sure.
For the sake of, you know, relevance. I'd like to say that my team, though we are 3 games under 500, have actually, since October 20th, has won 4 of the last 5 of our games.
Nebraska,
absolutely,
yeah, Nebraska.
Absolutely. We beat Michigan State. You know, it was a baseball score though, but we got them.
right. And listen, we give a shout out to our teams, man. I have to give a shout out to my nose, man. Boston College ranked 21st or 22nd as of yesterday. We get a game-winning 74-yard touchdown reception to go win the game 22-21. And if we defeat the Gators next week, we will be bowl eligible for the 37th straight season. So, man, we'll see how that goes. Florida is actually a better football team than what we remember, but I think we can beat them in Tallahassee. So, you know, we'll see.
And while we're at it, Vanderbilt defeated Ole Miss in overtime yesterday. And again, all the Commodores have to do to be bowl eligible is defeat Tennessee, which they've done for two straight years. Actually, the winner of this matchup will be bowl eligible. So, and that's going to make that an exciting affair next week down in Nashville. And I have the official line, I don't think, has come out yet, but it probably will be Vanderbilt slightly favored in that one. So we got to give credit where credit is due.
So I got a question, guys. You know, we're looking at the success of Michigan, all right? And we look at Mr. Harbaugh, who's spearheading that success. Do you think you think he's going to make a bid to become an NFL coach again? Because he actually has success on the NFL level. I mean, this man he's never had a season where he finished under 500 in the NFL.
Let me ask you this, Leon. To piggyback off of that, let me ask you this. I know he's had success on that level, but remember, even before then, he had success in the college football ranks. That's how he got that 49ers position.
Right.
When he was at Stanford. He brought Stanford back to relevancy. So he brought that back. My thing is this. The NFL is politics. If you want to deal with the politics of the NFL, it's on the "what have you done for me lately" type game that the NFL sometimes can play, then fine, you go back and you do that. But I think he's got something good going in Michigan. However, a lot of people would argue that he's on the hot seat simply because of the fact that he has not beaten Ohio State, and he has a great chance of doing it this weekend.
Yeah.
And simply put, and turning it around a little bit, if Michigan does beat Ohio State, does that put Urban Meyer on the hot seat? Especially after his narrow escape, his narrow escape to Maryland.
Yeah, good point. And with all the things that have happened, we already know the story.
Yep.
With him and the assistant coach Zach Smith,
right.
You know, it's just a lot of controversy swirling around that university right now.
And boy, I know we're going a little far afield, but did you guys see Zach Smith's? He put out a tweet where he basically napalmed any chance he ever had of picking up another job in college athletics.
Yes.
But the good
news, I did.
The good news is he does have a chance to be the new host of Cheaters. So that is the good news in that whole situation.
They need one.
He definitely needs one, you know, or definitely a lesson in public relations, because that is about as napalm of bridges as I've ever seen a college coach do. They say you should never tweet when you're angry, and I think that is probably prime exhibit number one of that adage.
You put your phone down when you're angry. Yeah, that's right. You put your phone down when you're angry. They teach the kids that in college, and they teach them that at the rookie symposium in the NFL. Put your phone down.
Exactly.
Put your phone down.
And they teach them that in high school, too, because if you want to, because college recruiters, they are checking what the kids put on Facebook. They're putting what they on Twitter. If you don't think people whom you are interacting with, whom you want something from, if you don't think they're checking out your social profile to see what you do when no one's looking, you're grossly mistaken.
That's right. No, I agree with that.
Yeah.
I agree with that 100%.
Well,
go ahead, Leon.
To piggyback on what we're talking about, reference to Ohio State, it's going to end ugly for somebody this year. Because Michigan, that's a real game that's going to happen on the 24th. That's a real game. That's going to be real. It's real consequences for whoever loses that game potentially. You know, we're looking at
that's a big game this weekend. That's a big game this weekend. Who do you guys got? I mean, let's make a
prediction. I got to go with Michigan. In this one.
Man.
Leon, who you got?
I mean, my heart wants Michigan to win. But I think that, you know, I think logically, I think Ohio State, you know, I think Ohio State could pull it off and knock Michigan out the, you know, and end the drama that is the Final Four. And potentially, I mean, you know, Are we looking at job security here? Because this is what these two coaches were hired for. They were hired to take one another out. In the end, there can only be one. It's Highlander right here.
Right.
There's only one of us going to be able to keep. I don't think there's any room. Let's be honest. Let's be honest. Is there really room in the Big Ten for both these guys?
Not in the same division. They were a different division, maybe. Because people will want to see a Michigan or Ohio State championship.
Right. I agree with that.
Are we going to see a rivalry that's going to continue throughout the years, or is Michigan tired of this rivalry? It's not even really a rivalry between these two. It's been pretty one-sided in Ohio State's favor. So this is what Mr. Harbaugh was brought on to do, was to knock Ohio State off. There's a contract that he was given, and I don't think it's Mission Impossible, but it's got to happen.
And we got some great games on Black Friday. Oklahoma at West Virginia's black on Friday. Washington at Washington State is on Friday. UCF at South Florida. So if I were you guys, I would get your shopping done early. Make sure you're in front of your TV at 8 o'clock for these games, and they're going to be right against each other in prime time. It should be very exciting.
Oh, it's going to be fire.
Nebraska-Iowa is Friday at noon. Arkansas-Missouri Friday as well. Mm-hmm. Although that's not much of a game. That's kind of like a... But, so you got some... Outside of that one, you got some real good ones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you do. You do. And just to get my prediction in, one of the toughest games Michigan will have is to go to Columbus. And this game is at Columbus, Ohio. So I think Michigan can pull it off. I think it'll be a very close, low-scoring defensive game. And I think Michigan pulls it off here. And that Oklahoma-West Virginia game, John, that you talked about, the winner of that game goes to the Big 12 championship. They do have a championship game this year. So,
yes, they do.
So the winner of that game will definitely be in the Big 12 title game.
Absolutely. Well, to switch gears to this bloodbath that we call the NFL, because it's getting ugly.
It is.
It's getting ugly out here. Right now in Baltimore, we have the end of an era and the start of something new potentially, which I believe we kind of seen this coming. We have the Rams and the Chiefs on the horizon. Unfortunately, we couldn't get that undefeated. We couldn't get the undefeated matchup that Daniel predicted the season during that Daniel actually predicted.
Right.
But I think we do have it is going to be a validated or verified moment though.
And you're talking about a bloodbath. It could have been a heck of a lot worse because they originally were supposed to play that in Mexico City, but the field condition is just bordering on the atrocious. So they made the wise move of restoring the home game that the Rams had. And I think this is a good move no matter what. You got the marquee game of the NFL season, and originally you're going to have it in Mexico City in high altitude in a very soccer-like condition. So now they've got it back in LA, probably where it should be. But again, these games, foreign games, are set up way in advance. The NFL had no way of knowing that this was going to be the big game of the season. But give the NFL credit for, instead of forcing it on Mexico City, forcing the field to be straightened out, they said, you know what? This is our marquee game. Let's bring it back to LA.
All right. I got a question for you guys. This is a validated, verified, dilapidated, or petrified question. Minnesota, 8:20 p.m. Eastern Time versus the Chicago Bears. We have two teams that are pretty much they have three losses. Minnesota has a ridiculous tie. What do you think, Daniel? Minnesota, validated, verified, or dilapidated and petrified?
Oh, that's a good question. For the division, No, I don't see them winning the division. I think that's Chicago's division simply because of their defense. But they're still validated and certified to make a playoff run because I think they're still one of the five best teams in the NFC. And I'm not saying, I didn't say six, I meant five. Uh, Carolina is still a question mark. They went down today again. So there's still a question mark. Dallas, they're up and down every now and then. Yes, they did get a victory over Atlanta, but they're up and down. You look at the bottom of the NFC and you start to compare if they can get in. Yeah, they should be able to get a wild card berth. And what really made them that way is the Green Bay loss. Like, Green Bay could have probably positioned themselves into that mix, but I don't think they will. I don't know what's going on with the Packers. I'm subject to believe that Aaron Rodgers is damaged. His knee is hurt more than what it is, and more than what they're saying it is. I really think he did torn ACL or meniscal damage to it, but he did enough damage to where he probably needs to sit. So I believe in Minnesota. I still think they have a pretty good quarterback. They have a good running game. Once they got Dalvin Cook back and running the football, they were going to be good. And listen, I told you guys a couple of weeks ago, I thought they had possibly the best receiver in football in Adam Thielen as far as possession
right
goes. And they have one of the top 5 1-2 punches in receiving. When you add Stephon Diggs to it, and their defense is still pretty good. So, yeah, to make a playoff run, sure. Why not? Certifying.
All right. So you're saying that, but on the flip side to that, we have the Packers, dilapidated and petrified.
Yeah, the Packers, I mean, we have to see if going to what Daniel was saying, if Aaron Rodgers has to get his knee back 100%. He's just trying to gut through the rest of the season and hope that Green Bay can sneak in the playoffs. But I think the North is the Bears. I think the Bears have that. I think the Bears are going to have that pretty much, I won't say sewn up, but it's definitely on their side.
Mm-hmm.
And
I agree.
Yeah. And they're just going to be fighting for a wild card. And I think if Carolina lost again, which they did, Dallas now is putting themselves in prime position for a wild card or even to take the division because now they're a game behind Washington.
Who took a real bad one today.
Right.
That was horrible. I wanted to get that. I mean, that was a bad loss for Washington today. That was a bad loss.
23-21 to Houston, yes.
And the Houston is just on fire right now.
Yeah. But let's talk about the Redskins, man. Are they still with the loss to Alex Smith? Because I don't know if you guys saw that today, but Alex Smith will be out for the year. He broke his leg.
He broke his leg in two places.
He had to have emergency surgery.
Ooh, Joe Theismann.
Solidifies the Rockets and Redskins.
Hold on, Daniel. Leon mentioned the Joe Theismann injury. Do you know that this occurred exactly 33 years to the day where Joe Theismann was cruelly introduced to Lawrence Taylor?
Oh, man.
That is scary. I did not know that.
Hold on. Let's give John the... If we had some sound effects, man, we got to give John the pound on those stats right there. People, that's why you guys need to listen to us right there. You're going to get it. If you're not going to get it anywhere else, you're going to get it here.
Yeah. Eerie coincidence.
It's eerie Indiana out this thing. My goodness, you guys remember that shit?
It was the same exact, looked like it was the same exact fall. If you guys go back to the Lawrence Taylor hit, it looked like almost the exact same way that I can't remember who got the sack. I think it was Watt who got in there and got him.
Yeah.
But Watt just fell on Smith's leg and it just, oh man, it was gruesome. It happened so fast though.
Right.
Oh man, I pray for him and I pray for his speedy recovery, but now the Washington Redskins, who lead that division, now they could be in trouble without Smith, but we'll see with Colt McCoy coming in now.
Well,
I think it's
Colt
McCoy?
I think it is Colt McCoy, yeah. It's not, I think that is who your backup is.
So therefore, it's safe to say that the Redskins are dilapidated.
Let's not throw them out just yet. I mean, because let's take a look at what the Redskins have to deal with in week 12 of the National Football League season. Looks like they're going to be at Dallas on the Thanksgiving Day.
Oh, that's a big, that's, that's, ooh, that's, now that right there, that, that game will be a validated or verifiable moment for one of these two teams, for those two teams right there. Whoever loses that game will lose dilapidated and petrified for the rest of the season. That's going to be the Tone Center.
I disagree.
You disagree?
I disagree. You know why?
Why?
Yes. Because equally, everybody in that division is terrible. But somebody has to win that division. That division is going to come down probably to the last weekend, and it'll probably be a 9-7 or an 8-8 team.
Fam.
Now, it's going to piece some people off.
Yes. If Dallas loses that game, his will roll. If Dallas loses that game to a backup quarterback on Thanksgiving on national TV, heads will roll. It's going to start. I believe they extended Dak. He's going to take a beating in the meet. I'm just saying.
The heads should have been rolling anyway because Jason Garrett should have been out of there.
Heads are going to roll if Dallas loses that game. I'm not going to lie to you. They, you know, their division is so horrible, and Dallas technically is not leaking. They're technically not leaking. I mean, they have Amari Cooper. They have, you know, you have Dak. You have Zeke. Your defense, you know, they have a defense. You know, there's no excuse. I think the table's been set. All they have to do is bring a knife and a fork.
Yeah,
that's it. I mean, they can't. I mean, the large one of the they. I mean, unfortunately, came at the expense of the home team. But one of the biggest wins they had was today. That was the biggest win they had today. You know, this
it was. And listen,
it was for both teams.
Both teams played well. I think it was a hard-nosed football game. The thing about Atlanta is this. They could not stop Dak Prescott on third down. That's what hurt them. I thought they played a pretty decent game on defense. They let Elliott go off.
Yeah.
He had almost 200 yards. Right? He had 200 yards total offense.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he was very good. He was very good today. So there was really no way you could stop that machine from happening.
Yeah.
But Atlanta just could not get off the field. The defense, again, and that was the problem we were having last year. And a couple of years back, we couldn't get teams off the field on third down. And even on that last drive, we could not. We had very good. We had third and 10 situations, and we still couldn't get them off the field.
Yeah.
Atlanta, to me, with a Thursday night game at New Orleans, this was a tough loss for them.
Now, remember, Atlanta still has all three NFC South foes, but again, all on the road.
It's ugly. It's going
all on the road. All on the road. The last 3 out of 4 weeks of the season, I believe it is.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I believe the blueprint to beat Atlanta was laid out was actually solidified last week with Nick Chubb just going crazy on Atlanta's run defense. I mean, the word is out that the Falcons can't stop the run. It's out. And especially, and when we know that's what Dallas employed today, they knew Zeke was just going to eat today. And going in to, especially you have Carolina again coming up, it's not looking good. But, it's unfortunate that you guys are missing the amount of people that you guys are missing on defense. It's not that you guys are just organically terrible on defense. It's just, you guys are just leaking. And unfortunately, the reserves have not been able to step up. Like they're supposed to, and this right here would have been an opportunity for the reserves to go off and make their mark in this league. But it's
right. I was going to say that the Cleveland loss was the one that probably would hurt the most,
right?
And that's the loss that they're probably going to go back and circle. And I was talking to my dad earlier today, and I was telling him about that loss. They lost that game simply because they didn't show up for it.
And
we know how it goes. Go ahead.
Well, they probably completely overlooked the Browns. They're saying, okay, they're the Browns.
That's true, too.
I mean, all we have to do is just punch them in the mouth, and, they'll fold. But instead, they got punched in the mouth, and they couldn't collect themselves.
At the end of the day,
they never rebounded from it.
Yeah, exactly.
At the end of the day, those Cleveland players are pros.
Exactly.
Yeah. So
now there's another report. Speaking of the Browns, because we just love to make fun of them, Although I don't know if this is actually making fun of them or just going a WTH moment. There was a report by Adam Schefter from ESPN, so unless someone hijacked his Twitter feed, which is entirely possible, that the Cleveland Browns were thinking outside the box in terms of their coaching, in terms of the head coach. I mean, there is outside the box, and then there is this name. Condoleezza Rice.
It was outside of, it's probably outside of this universe to even think about it, but I saw about an hour ago that one of the reps from Cleveland said that they're not considering hiring her. So it was, you know, that was,
I don't know,
just probably the weirdest thing.
It's probably the weirdest thing you will ever imagine. The craziest rumor ever. But is it exemplifying to us that we're actually thinking, you know, the Browns are just crazy enough to try this.
I've never heard anything so ridiculous in my life. That just goes to show how big of a joke Cleveland is. I mean, I never seen anybody cut off their nose to spite their face so bad like the Cleveland Browns did. I mean, it's like some teams. I guess some people are just not interested in competing. My goodness, like you have no respect whatsoever for your fan base. I mean, like, man, I mean, you go off. All right, let me say this, and I've been ranting and raving about this all year as far as the football season is concerned. But you guys take all kind of crap from Josh Gordon for 6 years. I'm talking about from like failed drug test after failed drug test after failed drug test. He actually comes back this year with his stuff together, and you guys fire this man because of Instagram horseplay? I mean, or some nonsense, like some so minor. I mean, if you guys are going to let this man go, you should have did it 4 years ago. Yeah. So then when he comes back in tip-top shape, he's ready to be. You guys bring in Landry Fields. You guys bring a Pro Bowl quarterback in Tyrod Taylor. You could have went off and drafted Saquon Barkley. My goodness. They gave you guys Hard Knocks for a reason. And you guys just... And they just turned the season over. I mean, forget turning the ball over. They just turned the season. They went off and gave Josh Gordon away to the Patriots for free.
Right.
Who does that?
Well, as much as we like to pick on the Browns, Baker Mayfield, they're just desperate for a quarterback. They're just so desperate for a quarterback. And Mayfield, you know, I'm not calling him a bust. I'm just saying the jury's still out on him. He's going to need time to develop. Nick Chubb, I think that was a good choice for them.
Yeah, absolutely. But then they fired the head coach after the head coach. You know, they actually won 200% more games, 300% more games than they did last year.
Right.
And the guy gets fired anyway. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. But yet, you know, hey, Oakland beat Arizona.
Oakland did beat Arizona.
And, you know, talking about
cutting, you know. I hear Gruden and Carr. Well, I actually saw it. Gruden and Carr are really not. They're not on the same page, but they eventually got it together.
Yeah.
There was some animosity between the two on the sidelines, but you're going to see that. You're going to see that every single time. They did. Oakland did beat Arizona.
You know,
and the Saints are beating up on the Eagles.
Yeah,
like we thought, man. Listen, I hate to say this. Yeah, you guys know, and I think you know what I'm about to say.
Yeah.
But the Saints are very, 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 very good.
Probably going to be the Saints and the Rams in the NFC Championship.
I don't see it. I don't see it any other way. Will it be the Will the Saints go to the Super Bowl? I'm not willing to go that far because
no, I'm not either.
I still think the Rams are as good as it gets. Once they get that defense together and once their secondary is healthy, I think that we'll be talking about a different kind of game here.
But
listen, if the Saints can stay healthy and they stay the way that they've been going on course, man, would that be bad if the Saints go to the Super Bowl and it's in Atlanta?
Oh, that's going to be horrible. What? That's going to be horrible.
And it probably
my wife is shaking her head. Yes,
that's awful.
You figure the Rams? Well, they were here the last time the Super Bowl was in Atlanta.
Oh man!
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, so either way,
I know.
Either way, we're gonna you know, it's going to be a bitter pill for these Atlanta fans to swallow having.
But I think Falcons fans would rather have the Rams here.
Oh, no question.
But listen, no question about it. Listen, I'm a fan of what the Rams are doing right now. I love what they're doing from top to bottom, from the general manager level to that head coach. Sean McVay is as good as it gets.
And Sean McVay is from Atlanta. He went to Marist.
Yes. West school, yes, that's right. He went to Marist High School.
Exactly.
So one of the best quarterbacks to come out of there, right?
Yeah, I think the best. I mean, well, there are a couple of other quarterbacks that I can mention, but you know, I think he is the best quarterback to come out. I think Rob Perez had some success with Air Force, but in terms of NFL level, that was it is Sean McVay.
Yeah,
it's Sean McVay. That's right.
So I got a question for you guys, representing NFL. Are we calling the Tennessee Titans frauds? Because they just had the biggest win they had in 2 years
over Dallas.
Over the Patriots.
I'm sorry, it was Patriots, right.
And then they come off and lay an egg against Indiana. Were they still hung over? Talk about an egg.
No, I don't. I think that, this is the NFL.
Yeah.
And in a two-week span, you could look so great, and you could look like you're on your way. But then it's that one game where it just makes you don't. You seem to appear of what you're not, and that's not really the case with the Titans. I think that the Texans are going to win that division, but the Titans are going to stay alive because the Titans have the best defense in the NFL. Now, with that case, let's talk about the Colts, because the Colts are on a run. I think the Colts have now won 4 in a row or something like that. So now they are starting to become in the AFC South conversation. And Andrew Luck is starting to look like the Andrew Luck past before the shoulder surgery that he had. So he's starting to look great. That team is starting to look great. Jacksonville is not.
Yeah, can I tell you who else
I'm not going to even get into them. I'm disappointed in them.
Yeah, can I tell you who else is not?
In the way that they're playing right now.
Tell you who else is not? You know, this is personal. The Broncos still are not going to the playoffs, even though you have to beat us today. All right? It's 4-6. You're 2 games under 500. You're 2-3 away. You guys got a lucky W. You guys got a lucky W against the Chargers and everything like that, but you guys are still not going to the playoffs, and we'll come back and beat you guys again this year. Shout out to Bronco Nation, but Charger Nation over here. I had to let that out. Excuse me.
Well, I say this about the Chargers. If there was a team that would be that nobody would want to see in the AFC playoffs, it's the San Diego Chargers. Nobody would want to see them especially if they start winning now and they don't lose.
Yeah, they're technically just the Chargers now. They're just the Chargers. Yeah. They're just the Chargers. You know, put the LA on it. We didn't hear that part about it said, but they're just the Chargers now.
They host Arizona next week.
Yeah, but I'm saying that because I don't really feel comfortable calling the LA Chargers for obvious reasons.
Right.
You know, but I just call them the Chargers now. You know, just the Chargers. Formerly of San Diego.
Did I call them San Diego?
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that, though. There's nothing wrong with that. And it's nothing wrong with that.
I'm not used to it, Leon.
Yeah, me neither. I'm not going to be used to it.
I'll ever be used to it.
Me neither. Me neither. I just call them the Chargers now. Just the Chargers.
Yeah.
Let's put it this way. How messed up is the AFC when you've got the Oakland Raiders, 2-8, who are still 3 games out of the final wild card?
It's
pretty ugly out there.
2-3 games out of it. Wow, and they won today, so they put themselves right back in that mix, right?
Yeah. See, here we are. Here are the standings right now. The Patriots, Steelers, Texans, and Chiefs, they're all leading the division by multiple games, 1 or 2.
Right.
The Chargers, 7-3, they're in the 5 spot, so they're that first wild card. Here are the teams at 5-5. Dolphins, Ravens, Bengals, Colts, Titans, and the Broncos are a game out of that. So one of those teams, and then the Jaguars, 3-7, even the Bills, 3-7, Jets, 3-7, even the Brownies, you still got to mention them at 3-6-1.
Yeah.
I mean, no one in the AFC is out of it.
The Denver can still make it.
So basically, what we're saying is that it's possible that there could be a 7-9 team or an 8-8 team that could get that final wild card spot.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. It could happen this year. Mm-hmm. The AFC looking like the Eastern Conference of the NBA 2 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, it's interesting on this bad coaching. I mean, heads will roll at the end of this year in the AFC.
Well, Miami will be at Indianapolis next week, so that's going to take care of some of that. So we'll see. So
yeah, somebody's going to.
That's going to be a must-win game for one of those squads. Both those squads, definitely.
It's going to be validated, verify.
Yep, big game over there. But again, that's something we will definitely revisit as we get closer to the. Playoffs, again, it's hard to believe 6 weeks are left in the NFL regular season as the Super Bowl is under 80 days down at Mercedes-Benz. But another thing going on is the NBA, and let's talk about what's going on there. Leon Carmelo Anthony, well, he was released from Houston. Is this it for him?
I would say no. Because of the fact is that his name still holds a lot of weight in the NBA. You know, I think he just hasn't come across the right system to suit him. Which is saying, I'm stretching on that. I'm saying it on a long shot right there. Because, I mean, you got two great quarterbacks in Houston with Harden and Chris Paul. And you still could make it work. I mean, I seen remarkably bad stats come out this man. Like 1-for-11. I mean, that's mental.
Right,
he has issues that I believe he has issues outside of basketball. That some people are wondering, like, hey, you might want to take a seat. Do you need to step away from the game?
Right,
and you know, get your affairs in order, or you know, is it something? Or is it you know, is it something that we just need to work on? You know, but I'll say this though, I won't be surprised if you see Melo in a Laker uniform.
Think that's where he'll wind up?
What do you think, Daniel?
No. I think he will. What I think he should do is leave the game. Listen, you trade him away. Let's just look at Carmelo Anthony's situation here. He's with the Knicks for a long time. Of course, that didn't work out. Phil Jackson, that situation, they could not build around him, and that relationship was just toxic. So I'm not going to even count that towards him. But you go to Oklahoma City, but then it kind of exposes his game. Here, listen, Carmelo Anthony is one of the three best scorers this NBA probably has ever seen. Okay, that's beyond, you know, having to say or beyond measures. But lately, he just hasn't been the same Carmelo Anthony. Leon, you might have a point if he goes somewhere, like if he goes to the Lakers. But the thing about Carmelo Anthony is that he has to go somewhere where he needs the ball. Carmelo Anthony still needs the basketball. And if he goes to L.A., LeBron can get it to him, yeah. But then you're taking away from all the other young players like Brandon Ingram, who's hungry. Who else? The Lakers.
You said it right. You said the hunger word. And you got a lot of youngsters. We got a high school basketball team that is hungry. You have the Brandon Ingram.
Exactly.
You have Josh Hart. You got Lonzo.
Right.
You got Tyson. You got JaVale. You got who?
Right.
You have Kyle Kuzma who could give you a 20 on any given night. You got Lance Stevenson.
Kyle Kuzma.
Right. You got Lance Stevenson. So, same example. If Melo comes to Lakers, he's going to win minutes.
The thing with Carmelo is you said it, Leon, he needs a system that he can work in, a system tailored to him. The problem is that system doesn't exist because you can't have him on offense, score, call timeout, switch him out for defense, then the next possession go down, they score,
exactly.
Call timeout, switch him back out for offense. You know, that you can't have him do that.
And he slows the game up.
He is too much of a defensive liability.
Exactly.
For that. And that's why Houston got rid of him.
Right.
Because he was that liability. Listen, and we'll talk about Houston in a little while because they are struggling for some reason. But it was simply because of the fact that Trevor Ariza's not there.
Yeah, they're in trouble.
So you don't have that defensive presence there like you used to have it. So, you know, it's... it is what it is. If Melo is still in the league, he's still a good enough scorer to play basketball. But, I mean, really, does he have to – if he goes to a team, like, would he accept the fact that he would be relegated on the bench? I guess that's my whole thing about him.
Exactly.
Well, let's look at the NBA landscape right here. Now, I think putting Melo on a contender can potentially, I don't think it is an option. Right? Let's say, for example, right, if you put Melo on the 76ers, could he fit in with them? No.
No.
Boston. Yeah, right. Charlotte, maybe. I mean, Washington needs people. Washington needs somebody.
So, Charlotte. Let's go back to Charlotte. Charlotte, you going to take the ball out of Kemba Walker's hand, who just scored 60 points in a losing effort?
No, but...
Kemba Walker put up 60 points last night, or two nights ago.
The most impressive.
In a losing effort to the Raptors, I believe it was.
Yeah.
60.
And that could take...
You going to take the ball out of his hand so that Melo can get it?
No.
Washington.
You got John.
Washington.
They need something.
Washington.
They need
Washington's something. Having problems. I wouldn't send him over there. They're having problems already. Their chemistry issue is often, I don't know how, Bill and Wall have played together for X amount of years.
And John Wall came back.
Something not going right over there in Washington right now.
And they got Dwight Howard, too. That's crazy.
Right.
Like Edward Dwight's his go-to. You know, there's a saying around the league that's saying that Dwight Howard's go-to move is not the jump hook. His go-to move is to another team.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's his move.
Right.
And he could have went to the Warriors, but the Warriors said they didn't want him. They took an ACL riddle DeMarcus Cousins over a healthy Dwight Howard.
Yeah.
Goodness.
And so, what is the issue with Dwight Howard? Is it ego getting in the way?
He's just his game. You know, as basketball is moving to more of a positionless game,
right?
Where the five, where they're pretty much playing five out now.
Five best players on the floor.
No, they're spreading the offense. Where the center can shoot threes.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a Dwight Howard who is like a key monster. He's like an in the paint monster. He's a block monster.
Right.
You know, he could play that defense. He could block those shots. He's going to get those rebounds. But as more centers are shooting the outside shot, those shots are missing long.
Which is what three-pointers do.
Right. Which, you know, is going to leave the rebound to go to, you know, more so like a faster player or whatnot, and they're going to hop in transition. And Dwight Howard is not known for shooting the long ball like that. I mean, he could, but he's not. And, you know, his handles have gotten a lot better, too. I've seen Dwight Howard cross somebody up a couple of weeks ago. So his handles are getting better, but he's not your – it's like this. The big man, Anthony Davis, is a prototypical big man going forward.
Mm-hmm.
Your Porzingis. You know, this right here was started with the Kevin Garnetts of the world. You know, you have, you know, so it's just the days of the old school center, unfortunately, you know, they're leaving them back in early 2000s and late 90s now. You know, like your Shaquille O'Neals and your dominant centers, you know, you know, it's the Tim Duncan, it's like the Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett, you know, these are, they're athletic children, the Karl Anthony Towns, who the big men could shoot from 25 and 30.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the problem, Dwight, unfortunately. You know what I'm saying? You see this, even, let's look at Blake Griffin. Blake Griffin is like turning into a stretch. He's a stretch four now. You know, so it's like, you know, he's got to stretch his game out. And unfortunately, you know what I'm saying, Dwight Howard, who was approaching year 14.
Yeah.
You know, people like that, you know, it's kind of hard for people like that to change. Some are saying that's what's going on with Carmelo. That his style of play, that ISO ball is just outdated. It's an outdated program. It's an outdated program, sir.
And he's not going with it. He's not moving. He's not recognizing it and not adjusting.
Yeah, Melo, unfortunately, is an outdated program that is not compatible with today's game, unfortunately. Dwight Howard, we're seeing the same thing. He's looking like he's an outdated program. You know,
it's more of a run and shoot kind of thing, right?
That's it. Yeah, that's it. That Mike Anthony, Don Nelson, like on offenses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got your Clint Capellas out there, but Clint Capellas surrounded by shooters, and he's not really a scoring option on the Houston Rockets. His job is really to take the other big man out the equation. So you know we're going to see this with you know other big name big men. You're DeAndre Jordan's. You know, is he an outdated program? You know, so you know we're going to see. I mean, I don't think so because I think there's all if you know there's always going to be a market for big men who can score with their back to the basket. But the way it's looking now, the NBA is moving on to your Porzingis like players, your positionless basketball. Where everybody can.
Speaking of Leon, I want to get your opinion on this. Speaking of maybe moving on, moving around, moving out of something that may have been untenable, the Jimmy Butler situation has finally resolved itself. He is now a 76er. I want to get your opinion on that.
Yeah, the 76ers do have a dog, but does this actually make the 76ers better than Boston, though? Are they actually better? Are they still a player away from beating Toronto now? You know, so I think, yeah, it made the 76ers better, but are they better than Milwaukee? Can Jimmy Butler D up Giannis? Because that's Jimmy Butler's job. He's a dog.
Right.
His job is to take the best offensive player or the opposing team out of the equation.
So he's kind of like a Daryl Revis.
Darrell Revis, Ron Artest, Trevor Ariza, you know, light player. You throw him on an island, you offer him no help, minimal supplies, you survive, and you make it happen. So that's his job. That's what they have. That's what they have him for. And when we're talking about teams like Boston, who have a whole starting five of hitters, you know, it's gonna be like, ooh, you know, okay, Mr. Butler, you know, yeah, he's good. You know, we like it, but. Hey Daniel, do you think that the 76ers are still better? Do you think that they're better than Milwaukee still? I mean, have they moved past Milwaukee? Are they even remotely even close to Boston?
That's a good question. Let me answer the first question. The addition to Jimmy Butler, I would say, are they better than Milwaukee? I would say yes. Listen, Greek Freak is something else, but. When I look at him, and he's probably an MVP candidate right now because he's playing out of his mind.
Out of his mind.
When I look at him, now you have to look at who he has around him, and does that compare to Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, and J.J. Redick, and all the other guys that Butler has around him? And to me, on paper, just on paper, I think that Philly is a lot better. But you know what? I thought Philly was going to be the second best team in the East anyway. Coming into the season, even without Jimmy Butler, I thought that was going to happen because Covington was playing so well, but they ended up trading him away in that deal. Are they better than Toronto and Boston? No. I think that Toronto right now is showing us that they're the class of the Eastern Conference. And who would have thought that triple team would have come together? Kyle Lowry, Kawhi Leonard, and Serge Ibaka. Who would have thought that, right? That those three guys are actually meshing together or whatnot. And Boston, of course, once they get themselves, because Boston hasn't really been the Boston that we thought they were going to be. But once they get themselves, once they get rolling and once everything goes clear, Boston's the best team, regardless on where Jimmy Butler goes. Boston will be the best team. I think Philly still has to catch them. At the end of the year, we'll probably see them two or three fighting probably with Toronto. But I still think Boston will be the class of the Eastern Conference.
Regardless of what's going on.
And what do you think about Indiana and their strong start?
Indiana, terrific start, man. And the funny part about the Pacers is that I think it was two or three nights ago, Victor Oladipo scored 8 points and they won by nine. So that says something, and the unsung hero of that team, of that Pacers team, is Arvydas Sabonis' son. Like, I love the way he plays basketball, and he has done a tremendous job for that Pacers squad. The Pacers and we talk about the Bucks might not be better than the Pacers. And Leon, you mentioned the Indiana Pacers, and a lot of people have mentioned the Indiana Pacers to me. But they might not be better.
Man, it's the East is actually, being that LeBron has left, just open it all up. It's a conversation now.
And we always knew it would be.
Yeah, but in reference to what you were saying, John, and Jimmy Butler, did it really make a large difference on the 76ers' destination to a championship run? Like, now all of a sudden, now they're about to make a championship run? Now that he's with the 76ers? I don't think so, unfortunately. I think that makes
not necessarily a championship run, but they could make a somewhat of a playoff push.
Right.
Like, a 2 or 3 seed, man. They'll get to the Eastern Conference quarters, or semis, rather. They'll get to the East semis, but right now, the way it's looking, it looks like it's going to be a Boston-Toronto Eastern Conference final series.
Right. And, you know, on a somber note, you know, well, not a somber note, but actually on a positive note, you know, in the last 10 games, Derrick Rose has been averaging 22 points a game.
Yes, it's amazing. And I believe since the Timberwolves traded away Jimmy Butler, I think they've either not lost a game or they've lost maybe one game. And I think they're like 5-1 or 6-1 or 6-0 or something like that.
Well, the Timberwolves are 4-6 in their last 10 and did lose their last game, but they are 7-10. But you look at the way the West is situated; they're 3 games out of second. Portland, Oklahoma City, Clippers, Grizzlies—they're all 10-5, and they're 1 game behind the Warriors. If you look at the Western Conference standings, the Phoenix Suns are 3-12, and then it's the Timberwolves with 7 wins. The Mavs with 7 wins, and the Spurs are 7-7. It's just a very logjam doesn't do it justice.
Right, you got a lot of new teams out there, with the exception of the Golden State Warriors, who they had a major acquisition, but the acquisition has not been put into play yet. We're dealing with the teams like the Spurs, who have pretty much they have a new star player. The Lakers are pretty much still brand new. Everybody's going through adjustments for the most part.
Right.
The Blazers pretty much had the same team, but there's a lot of adjustments going on right now in the West. And, you know, we'll see around Christmas. And once everybody kind of knocks the rust off or, everything gets in gear, then we'll start seeing some people start cooking with grease.
All right. Well, we're.
Tell you another thing.
Well,
One more thing. I'll tell you another team to watch out for, the Denver Nuggets. Watch the Denver Nuggets. They're coming too. They're a surprise team in the West.
All right, well, we are coming toward the end of our hour of power here on The Last Three Guys Who Do a Podcast. So, once again, we'll turn it over to our panel for something you might have missed. And, Leon, you're up first.
Well, I'd like to go off and speak on, I guess it's like my adopted home with the Atlanta Falcons. I know we had high hopes for the Falcons to be hosting the Super Bowl this year. But unfortunately, with the defense suffering the leaks that they've been suffering, we know that may not be a reality. But I'm looking at the reserves. I mean, to the reserves out here, your second strings. I mean, this isn't the golden opportunity for them to step up and actually find a place in this league.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, to me, it's like these guys aren't seasoned. They're not seasoned the time. So I'm just gonna say that the reserves on the Atlanta Falcons I mean, get it together because we got the Saints coming and the Saints they're not interested in taking prisoners,
right?
They're totally uninterested. They're executing everybody.
They're running up the score. They threw a 30-yard pass to Alvin Kamara with it being 35-7. I mean, they are not interested in
making friends,
calling off the dogs. No. Dogs are out there.
Yeah, so. I'm gonna need the Falcons to get it together. Let's not go out like that. Now, I don't. I'm a Charter fan all day, but I don't like to see the Falcons go out like that. So, let's get the reserves. Let's get together. Let's have some pride. And we know that the Falcons have it because when Cam Newton was actually en route to going undefeated, and the Falcons who didn't even make the playoffs that year, were the team that handed the Carolina Panthers that loss.
Yep.
And it's to a division, and they always play against their division real tight. So it's a lot of pride on the line right now.
All right, Daniel, you're up.
All right, thanks, guys. We're talking about Atlanta sports, so I think we need to give a double salute to two guys from the Atlanta Braves. The first, our manager, Brian Snicker. He was named the NL Manager of the Year, so congratulations to him. Now, why did he get it? Listen, he turned a 90-loss team into a 90-plus, 90-win team who won the NL East, even though, of course, nobody expected for the Nationals to fall to the way that they were, and the Mets are the Mets, and the Marlins are the Marlins, and so on and so forth. So congratulations to him. And also, my double salute, the second salute goes to his very young and talented outfielder, Ronald Acuna Jr., who was named NL Rookie of the Year. This kid, guys, if you haven't seen him, the game, I think it was game three, of the wild card series between them and the Dodgers. I was actually in the car coming home from the podcast, and he hit the grand slam, and I almost lost control of the wheel. I was so excited for him. You know, so salute to him. Also, happy Thanksgiving to everybody. My predictions for Thursday, it will be the Bears, the Cowboys, and that other team that will get the victory.
Okay. All right, well, I'm going to do something a little different for my 60 seconds. As people know, I am the voice of Georgia State women's basketball. Had their home opener a week and a half ago, hosting UNC Greensboro. In attendance that ball game was one Daniel Bolton. And Daniel, I didn't get a chance to talk to you after the broadcast, my broadcast. I wanted to ask what you thought of the Georgia State women's basketball team, what you saw, what interested you.
Oh, you know what? I think that they're well balanced, and they're going to be a well balanced ball club. Now, I did see some. Now they were up by, as much as 16 in that game, John. I believe.
Yes.
They were up by as much as 16 at one point, but other team came back in. Who did they play?
UNC Greensboro.
That's what it was. Yeah, but UNC Greensboro actually cut the lead down to about 5, maybe. And it was just one of those things. And you know, it was so good to just be there for that game at the particular time that the game was played. I think the game kicked off at 1 o'clock.
Right.
And I work at Georgia State. So it was good to be there. You had a pretty decent turnout for women's basketball. But it was good to see them, and I think that their balance and scoring, their defense is going to be very good. I think they could do some things in the Sun Belt this year.
All right, well, we'll see if that's the case. We'll wrap it up here. Thank you very much for listening to the last three guys to do a podcast. We appreciate your feedback. We appreciate your listenership. Tell a friend, tell an enemy, tell a frenemy. We really are not all that particular. I'm John Morgo for
Leon Brown.
And
Daniel Bolton.
We'll be seeing you sometime soon down the road. This, again, we'll have some great things coming down the pike. Can't wait to show them all with you, and hopefully you will be as excited as we are. We'll see you next week. This has been the last three guys to do a podcast.
We're good. We're clear. Man, I'm watching.